Get from out the road when he get dough, it's horrible. Time is money, spend, waste, save, invest, affest. The 10K cave of chicken chest, S. Yes, y'all are dumb and get your trickles. The best ballers pitch in and rub to get a nickels. But tut tut, he bout to change the price again and go up each time he blow up like hydrogen. Villain here, albums shrilling in fear. And won't stop top bill until he a gazillionaire. Took a Jehovah money for Arabic Torah. Charged in advance to translate it and ignore the sorta.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Robert Weisman, who's the president of Public Citizen and an expert on economics, healthcare, trade and globalization, intellectual property and regulatory policy, and issues related to financial accountability and corporate responsibility. He has worked to lower pharmacy prices for AIDS victims and others in the developing world. His top priorities include climate change, healthcare reform, financial regulation and campaign finance reform. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Weisman.
Good to be with you.
And clearly the courts have struck a blow to the Dodd-Frank Act, particularly the provisions to prevent oil speculation and essentially neutering the ability of the Commodities Futures Trading Commission to do so as mandated by Dodd-Frank. It seems that they've managed to sort of go over this with a fine-tooth comb and find the word appropriate to be inappropriate.
Yeah, well, Dodd-Frank instructed the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, which is has oversight of derivatives, to issue rules to limit speculation in oil and other commodity markets. The basic idea is that no party should control too large a portion of the market, because otherwise they can manipulate the whole thing. This is known as position limits. The CFTC, the agency that was charged with issuing this new rule, took a long time to do it, was subject to a lot of pressure, and issued a rule that really was too weak. But at least it was a step forward in trying to deal with a very serious problem of oil speculation, speculation on other commodities markets. Immediately, Wall Street takes the new regulatory proposal to the courts and challenges it on multiple grounds. Last week, a court sent the rule back to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, saying that they had not recognized the ambiguities in Dodd-Frank sufficiently, and basically back to the drawing board.
But essentially they're saying that the Commodity Futures Trading Commission's ability to enforce position limits uses the word appropriate, and apparently the CTFC thinks that that gives them the green light, and the courts thought otherwise. And these courts, particularly the United States District Court and the District of Columbia, have basically ruled against financial regulation in the past. So what are the chances of an appeal?
Well, they're not great. On this one, it's a very strange ruling. It's kind of the worst form of lawyering. They're really saying that the agency can't issue the rule or shouldn't issue the rule or didn't even issue the right rule. They're just saying the agency didn't interpret the law properly and they should have found that there was uncertainty in the law before they proceeded. That's a lot of legal gobbledygook, but what matters at the end of the day is the Commodity Futures Trading Commission itself is divided on this issue, and it's going to be very hard for them to press forward with an appeal, which may not do well in the appeals court. But if they also just decide, okay, we'll take the direction from the district court, we'll just go back, we'll look at the statute the way they want us to, and we'll go ahead and issue a new rule, well, they probably just won't actually get around to that. There probably aren't three votes on the five-member commission to do that. And as you say, this is not the first ruling against Dodd-Frank rules. There's an earlier ruling, probably more important in terms of the precedent for other rules coming down the line, where the court decided to impose a very restrictive corporate-friendly requirement for how agencies should analyze rules before they can issue them, known as cost-benefit analysis. And if that kind of approach is going to be applied by the courts as the Dodd-Frank rules are finally issued, we're going to see rule after rule struck down or very significantly weakened. And what we're seeing already is that the agencies that are supposed to issue the rules under Dodd-Frank are pretty scared to do so because, among other things, they're worried about being challenged in court.
Again, I'm speaking with Robert Weisman, who's the president of Public Citizen, and we're talking about a District of Columbia court issuing a ruling last week, striking down a key part of the Dodd-Frank rule on oil speculation limits. And obviously, the people that are representing the speculators who brought the suit, they're out to make money. But I'm surprised that our judiciary is so disconnected from the average American. Some of these judges must have to go to the pump and fill up their cars and notice the price. And maybe they watched 60 Minutes a year or so ago when oil was run up to $147 a barrel, when it was made clear that had nothing to do with oil companies or Saudi Arabians said it's not us. It was entirely Wall Street. You've pointed out that the CEO of Exxon, Rex Tillerson, has said speculation has added about a third above what the price of oil would normally be. And even Goldman Sachs have said that speculation has increased the price of a gallon of gas by 65 to 70 cents. So this is an assault on the American public. It doesn't provide any benefits except for those that are playing around with paper barrels of oil.
Yeah, it's a really terrible ruling, at least in terms of its impact on, you know, this crucial issue of the ability to control the oil speculators. You know, I think that this is a relatively liberal judge who put out this ruling, and an Obama appointee, and it's not so much that he's saying, look, I want to rule on the side of Wall Street. In fact, I don't think it's that at all. It's the way the law has evolved, you know, over the last several decades, thanks to a very prolonged corporate campaign to reshape both the judiciary and the laws and the way they interpret the laws. It's hard for regulators to do what they're supposed to do, and it may become increasingly hard if they're going to impose new burdens to take all kinds of corporate-friendly analyses of the alleged and potential costs of rules that they adopt. It's bad in two really serious ways. I mean, this speculation rule is very important, and exactly as you say, just to protect consumers at the pump. It's a couple steps removed, but a very direct impact on the consumer pocketbook. And then secondly, this case may be less so, but other cases that we're seeing really suggest there's going to be judicial hostility to good implementation of the already two-week Dodd-Frank law, and that's going to be a big challenge for the regulators and a big challenge for those of us who are pushing them to implement aggressively.
So, Robert Weisman, did the people who wrote the Dodd-Frank rules, did they not do a good job here to allow that ambiguity over the word appropriate, meaning that they've given this liberal judge a reason to strike it down when clear language could have empowered the CTFC to do exactly what they want to do, which is set position limits?
Yeah, yes. I think the answer is yes. This is sort of, you know, lawyering technical stuff. A regular person might think it was clear. If there's not really any doubt at all about what the authors of this provision intended. They intended for the CFTC to issue rules on position limits. But it didn't work out to be as clear as it ought to be when this judge reviewed it.
So
again, he's not stopping. This judge himself, he's not saying that they can't do it, and he's not really imposing onerous analytic requirements on them. He's just saying you have to interpret this thing slightly differently, jump through a different hoop, and then you can go ahead and issue whatever rule you want. It just happens that that's going to make it unlikely that there are three members of the commission who are ready to push through a rule, let alone a stronger one than what they had earlier adopted.
Well, the makeup of the commission, and it's worth noting that the Republicans in the House who fought against the consumer protection organization that was started by Elizabeth Warren, and they didn't want to seat the new head, they argued, of course, that we need a commission, not the powers that this new consumer protection agency has. And, of course, commissions are easy to divide and conquer. And for the longest time, one of the Democrats on the CTFC voted with the Republicans. And now you've got a guy in there who's from Goldman Sachs, Gary Gensler, but he seems to have sort of had a road to Damascus conversion, hasn't he? I mean, at least he seems to be trying to do something on behalf of the consumer.
Yeah, all that is right. Gensler's turned out to be remarkably good, very surprisingly so, given where he comes from and even his past record in public service. He's really done a good job, but exactly as you say, it's been hard for him to carry three votes on the five-member commission, including on this rule where they were able to do it, but where the third member voted for the rule because he said he had no choice because of the congressional mandate, so he did what he thought Congress mandated it to him to do, what Congress did intend to mandate him to do. But now with this judge saying, look, the mandate from Congress isn't so clear and you've got to look at the statute differently, it seems unlikely that this third vote is going to stay a third vote for a position limit rule, since he said he really didn't, you know, he basically did it kicking and screaming.
I see. Again, I'm speaking with Robert Weissman, president of Public Citizen, and it's pretty clear that having failed to block Dodd-Frank, the Republicans who now control the House of Representatives, they've fought tooth and nail to repeal the act, but there's also a two-pronged strategy here with the courts. And you've mentioned earlier some other lawsuits. There's been a flood of lawsuits in federal courts challenging the Dodd-Frank rule and by claiming that regulators have used the improper cost-benefit analysis. And this seems to be the rubric by which they try to defeat it. And you've had three conservative judges on the Court of Appeals in the D.C. Circuit rule in the Business Roundtable and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce versus the Securities and Exchange Commission. That there's a chance that isn't there a pretty good chance that this is going to get to the Supreme Court? And even though it won't get the publicity of Obamacare, the ACA, it's just as vital in many ways. And, you know, we have a pretty corporatist Supreme Court. So walk us through the likelihood of a big chunk of Dodd-Frank being struck down by the Supreme Court.
Well, I don't know if it's going to get to the court, but just to sort of step back and go over what you just said, it's you know, you're getting again exactly right. So so Dodd-Frank passes over the massive opposition of Wall Street. That it passed at all was a victory. That there are a lot of good things in it was a victory, but of course far too weak compared to what it should have been. So the law now exists. The law creates one important new agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and then charges the many financial regulatory agencies with issuing a couple hundred new rules, many of which are very important to control Wall Street and the big banks. So what happens? Well, the old financial regulators weren't exactly tough regulators. They were pretty friendly with the industry. Then the industry launches a massive all-out lobbying blitz to block, delay, or weaken the rules. So the agencies are behind, are failing to meet deadlines 80% of the time, to the extent that Dodd-Frank actually gave specific deadlines on when rules should be issued. Eventually, at least in some cases, the agencies get around to issuing the rules that they're supposed to do, and then immediately, at least in many of these cases, the industry trade associations and other affected businesses are challenging the rules in court. We had the one that we've just been talking about with the position limits, and then also, very importantly, the case that you're referencing. In that case, which had to do with the ability of shareholders to get issues on the ballot for consideration by shareholders, known by term proxy voting, the court held that the Securities and Exchange Commission hadn't conducted a sufficiently rigorous cost-benefit analysis to assess the ups and downs of the rule that it proposed. So cost-benefit analysis on its face seems reasonable, like who wouldn't think about what's good and what's bad about a decision they're making. But what it really is a faux fake science, very corporate-friendly science manipulated by industry routinely to suggest the cost of new rules will be very high and the benefits will be very low or maybe shouldn't even be counted at all. But when you apply it to something like this proxy access rule, whether it's with the ability of shareholders to get onto the ballot, we're really talking about shareholder democracy. It just doesn't make any sense at all. And the costs really aren't very great despite the inflated numbers from business, but the benefits don't lend themselves to monetization. I mean, what's the monetary benefit of saying shareholders get to have some control over what the executives of the company they own do? You can't really put a number on it. Or if you say we have something called the Volcker Rule, which is trying to aim in part to prevent the financial system from melting down again, in that case, you're talking about a percentage chance of something like Armageddon. I mean, how do you just treat that as a benefit? The system of cost-benefit analysis is a terrible fit for looking at financial regulation. It's not really good anywhere, but it's a terrible fit for financial regulation. Nonetheless, the courts have said, at least in this one important case, that it's required. And I don't know if that issue is ever going to get to the Supreme Court, but if that becomes the prevailing view of how financial regulators have to treat the rules that they're obligated to issue under Dodd-Frank, it's going to be, first of all, hard for them to get the rules out at all, because it's hard, just sometimes hard, nearly impossible to conduct these kind of analyses. And second, it's going to be really hard for them to issue rules nearly as strong as they ought to, because this pretend science of cost-benefit analysis is heavily weighted for corporate interests. And when courts look at what agencies do, they're basically going to give credence to the numbers that come from the regulated groups, from Wall Street, and it's going to be really hard for the regulators to explain the dollar value of the benefits they're accruing. So we're looking at a systemic threat to the modest reforms we won on Dodd-Frank, and these court challenges, we don't know how they're going to turn out yet at scale, but the early signs are very, very worrisome.
Well, it does seem that the playing field is so tilted. I mean, here you are on the side of the consumer, and it doesn't sound like you, as president of Public Citizen, Robert Weissman, you're up against an avalanche of Wall Street lobbyists who have basically got the Republican Congress in their pocket, but are weighing in relentlessly with unlimited funds. What I find extraordinary about it is, and again, it gets back to this alternative universe that we mortals are in. These are the people. These are the Wall Street people are the people that took the global economy to a near-death experience. They were bailed out by the taxpayers, but they cost $19 trillion in household wealth for Americans was lost. 8.7 million jobs disappeared, and 6.3 million more Americans sank below the poverty line. That's the damage that they've done. They and these modest attempts to prevent them from doing it again, they've managed to pretty much neuter them. What does it say about who's out there on behalf of the citizen as opposed to the power of the banking lobby?
Well, I mean, that's exactly right. It is an alternative universe, and it's exactly right to step back and remind ourselves of the cost of what this industry did to us. You know, if you apply cost-benefit analysis to the financial industry itself, at least as it's currently configured, you know, it's kind of a no-brainer. There's far too much Wall Street compared. If you look at the risks that they impose on us, the costs that they impose us, the routine rip-offs from the big banks imposed on us, as against the benefits they offer, you know, they do provide important services in terms of providing consumers with banking services or access to capital, but not at the scale that they're operating. And you're exactly right. And we face big challenges going ahead. There's no question that if you look at the calamity that they created and just the very modest remedial measures that passed Congress and that themselves are now being undermined, you can't help but conclude that this system is seriously, seriously broken.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Robert Weissman.
Great to be with you.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Weissman, who's the president of Public Citizen and an expert on economics, healthcare, trade and globalization, intellectual property and regulatory policy, and issues related to financial accountability and corporate responsibility. He's worked to lower pharmacy prices for AIDS victims and others in the developing world, and his top priorities include climate change, healthcare reform, financial regulation, and campaign finance reform. We're going to take a brief station break, and we're back talking about Boss Rove inside Karl Rove's Secret Kingdom of Power. That's how we start the show. Eagle soar and oil flow. You didn't decide what you chose. We will pay back what they owe. Crime.
depends from who you sold. We cheer for the villains though. Hustling, bustling, getting low. Motion is perpetual. We call drill to give and go. All you reap is what you sow. No, where are the controls? Mass of individuals consuming as ritual. You ain't hear them say ride slow. Dude, don't let them play us.